Well, I guess I would love to start out with what made you dive into the director chair? I mean, you've been such a kind of a wonderful producer and also helping with distribution of films, but what made you want to dive into to the director's chair?
Oh, gifting suite. Kidding. You know, I have always kind of been a director before, you know, when I was in high school and college, and then I came out to Hollywood to act, and then I started producing to have more control over acting, and then I started producing for those raising a family and pregnant a lot, so, and then I did my first documentary kind of by accident, and I just kind of fell in love with it, and then my second documentary, I started working on because I love making documentaries, but then that documentary was really challenging and difficult and was, like, killing me, so I was like, I have to do something funny. So I did a short comedy, and then I really enjoyed that, and then I was like, oh, I want to make a long comedy. So that's kind of how that came about.
You know, what I loved about the movie is where did you guys shoot? Because I love the scenery and how kind of beautiful that area, especially the lake area when they all make it out to the lake.
Yeah. You know, it's crazy. That's all in New York. You know, Jim has 5 kids, so he needs to stay close to home. And I'm like, how am I supposed to shoot Big Bear Lake in New York? But you know what? We did. So it worked out. And it was all, you know, kind of within the Union Zone. And it's shocking. New York actually has so much more than just New York City. And I knew that, you know, because I went to college in Upstate, so we had to kind of stay, like, lower by the Hudson. And it was all shot in June and in May, and it was just gorgeous. I mean, when it wasn't raining, freezing. But I did scout those houses when they were covered in snow. So.
Where did you find...
They promised me it would work, and they were right.
Where did you find Lewis's crazy big old truck that he's driving around in?
Oh, gosh. Well, props found that. But you know what's really funny is it's also a... I was very specific of what kind of truck I wanted. That truck is also in a TV show with Giovanni Reed Beasy, which is like a bad guy. It's like Sneaky Pete. It's the same car that the mom is, or the wife, the woman in Sneaky Pete drives, which I found out after I saw it. I'm like, wait a sec, that's that car. So, it was on hiatus from that other show.
As far as your cast, I mean, obviously you got Jim on there, but how much fun was it to have Alex, people who can kind of dive into their comedic, you know, leanings and kind of play a little crazy? I mean, I think Alex's hair alone deserves some notice.
Oh my God, yeah, we had to give him the party in the back, business in the front look. Yeah, and gray it out. I got really lucky. Everybody had a really good time on the movie, and it was pretty lighthearted and fun. So, and you know, I like being able to give the actors opportunity to, you know, play around with the dialogue a little bit and kind of, you know, give the little banter and stuff like that. And you find little gems that way.
As far as you know, the audience's reaction or people looking at it, do you find people looking at Anna's family more and in, like, they're on their side, or they're more on Samantha's family's side? Like, have you noticed people's reaction as far as that or the crew? I mean, was there anyone leaning towards which family deserves more of the credit of being with Frank?
I don't think so. I mean, that's not anything I ever noticed. I think everyone's just like, how did Jim Gaffigan do that? And I'm like, it's not Jim Gaffigan, it's a guy named Frank. So, I'm not sure. I think that, you know, with a painting or a song or art, you know, everyone has an opportunity to kind of look at it through their own lens and kind of find what they relate to about the story or the characters in their own way.
What attracted you to Glenn's script? I mean, what did you like most about it?
I related most to the father-son story, and I felt very similar to Philip, Phil's character, when I was growing up and when my parents were separating, and me wanting, you know, my dad to have me be one thing and I wanted to be something else, or not, you know, feeling misunderstood and feeling like I don't have time with my family, stuff like that. So there was all these elements in the teenage boy's character that I really identified with.
Were you a musician, or where did that come about?
My brother is a guitarist, yes.
So was that always, is there an importance then to the specific guitar that was picked?
Well, I wrote the song that was played, that he kind of creates at the end, called Please Excuse Me, and that his dad finally gets listened to at the end of the movie.
Oh, so cool. I'd love to know, as far as getting to direct different generations. I mean, you've got some younger actors, and you've got, you know, obviously the teenage actors, and then the older actors. Is there any change in the way you communicate with the different age groups, and how you want to get them to their scene?
Yes, for sure. Although, you know, I think I wouldn't say necessarily age groups so much as each actor has their kind of own individual way that they process information. And, you know, you kind of feel that out on the first couple of days with them if you're lucky enough to have rehearsal, and then you can kind of figure out the way to talk to them in a way that they will understand and be able to kind of put it through their own process. The way Anna Gunn acts is very different than the way Samantha acts, but they're both superb actors. You know, Sam is very all about props and, you know, where's her mark and what's this happening and all this is going on. And Anna's much more like, I have to think about the character and relate it to myself and what's going on in my own life. And so everyone has their own different ways, and it's really just about finding those ways and then supporting them to get where they need to get emotionally for the scenes, or, you know, timing-wise for the scenes.
So I'm an Israeli, so I've got to ask, how did you team up with your DP?
Your own? Oh my God, I love him. So he, I produced a movie with Richard Gere called Norman, and he was the DP on Joseph Theater's Norman, and he and I became friends, and so he's my go-to guy.
So does that mean you're going to use him again? Because I love his work.
Yes, I am.
So cool. I would love to, if you don't mind me asking, since you wear so many hats as a producer and you know, with the Film Arcade being such a significant, you know, I think, distributor for indie film, can you talk about how you departmentalize what you are needing to do at what time? Is it difficult? Is it easy?
Oh, I wouldn't say it's easy, but, you know, I find that my mom used to tell me this, and I used to think she was full of it, but she's actually right, which is that the more you do, the more you can do. It's kind of like when you have, like, days off, and you're like, oh, I have to get my laundry done, I have to go to the post office, and I have to do this, and you end up, and you're like, I gotta clean my room, and, like, you don't do any of it. You just, like, lay in bed. And yet, when there's momentum happening, and you're having to work, and having to get up, and having to do things, like, that kind of creative energy is just constantly going and flowing within you. And I think as long as I, like, don't pause, there's so much for me to be able to do and to think about. And I'm so grateful that I have other things, because, you know, like, here I am really nervous about how are people going to receive being Frank, but yet at the same time I can be focused on growing the audience for Cherry Pick and, like, developing another movie that I'm producing. And so I can kind of, like, keep my mind off my ego.
So I've got to ask, you know, you brought up earlier the tackling of the different types of documentaries, and one being a little bit easier than the other. Now that you've gotten to tackle, you know, more of the comedic side and jump back into that realm, do you find yourself wanting to dive into anything serious, or do you like the comedy side? Do you want to dive into documentary? What's next as far as directing?
I'm really enjoying comedy right now. but I like comedy that has serious elements, kind of like Being Frank is a dramatic comedy or a comedic drama, however you want to look at it. And the next couple of projects that I've been developing for myself are comedies, but they, well, particularly one comedy that, you know, deals with, you know, student loan debt and classism and sexism, but with a very funny kind of irreverent tone, and that's kind of like my style, I guess, if I have a style.
Very cool. Obviously some subject matter that's top of mind right now for a lot of people.
Yeah. Hopefully it'll get made. I think it will. So.
Do you mind if I ask where you came up with Cold Iron and the Film Arcade, like these titles?
Yes. Cold Iron is a poem by, and I always mess up his first name, Rudyard Kipling.
Oh.
And it's very masculine title, I guess, about a sword, like, you know, having iron and winning and power. And you know, when I started Cold Iron, you know, you had to kind of feel that. You had to have that because the competition is so male, and I had to, like, you know, compete with that. And then the Film Arcade, you know, when we started that, it was more like I wanted it to be fun. I wanted it to be a place. I started Film Arcade to be a place where we could collaborate with the filmmakers and the artists in the movie and allow them to be really a part of the release, because so many times I had produced movies or acted in movies where then they were sold and the filmmakers themselves had absolutely no say of anything. And I just thought that was such a shame to spend so much time on a film and then hand it over to someone who's just gonna, you know, throw the spaghetti against the wall, see if it sticks, in the same way they always do. So that's why we started the Film Arcade, and it's been really great because we don't have to take offers for people who are just gonna stick it through their system. We can really, you know, we were able to work with me, work with Jim Gaffigan on the release of this film, and like strategy and the poster and the trailer and everything. And same with Mike Birbiglia's movie or Lake Bell's movie. They were really an active part of releasing their film.
I know this is a jump back in time since the film has been on the festival circuit for quite a while, but can you talk a bit about some of the fun spots like South By, Cleveland, Bentonville, that you guys have been able to take the film to?
Yeah, I mean, Bentonville, I have to say, if I just went, but Bentonville is the only festival that actually played this version of the film, Being Frank. We really, truly just finished it just before Bentonville. The other festivals played the You Can Choose Your Family version, the first version of the film. And, I mean, South By is the best. I go every year if I can. But I have to say, like, one big surprise for me was Nantucket. And that, I had never been to Nantucket before, and I just had the best time going there.
So cool. Since I'm in Texas, I've got to know, what do you love about South By and that Austin audience, the feel?
Well, you know, they're just fun and rowdy, and they are ready to have a good time, as opposed to a lot of festivals that are a little petty and pretentious. You know, South By doesn't have that. South By is like, everyone's there to just enjoy themselves, and there's just something so refreshing about that, especially as a filmmaker. When everyone's judging you, you know that the South By audience is like, even if they don't like it, they still had a good time.
Well, I guess to kind of wrap things up, I'd love to know, since you kind of mentioned that you're going to stick in the comedy realm, but as far as a producer, can you let us know what's down the line for you guys as far as, you know, other films and other filmmakers you're getting to work with?
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't think I can really announce anything quite yet, but, you know, we did this movie, the Untitled Amazing Jonathan documentary that went to Sundance, and we sold to Hulu, and it's funny. It's a very funny documentary, and it's called the Amazing Jonathan documentary, and it's going to be released in August on Hulu, and that's a really fun, bizarre kind of catfish meets magician kind of movie. It's pretty neat and funny.
Can you expand on that? Because I got to see him many years ago. This must be a really kind of emotional project, knowing that you're going to be able to show his his kind of, you know, his, I don't know how to put it, his brand of humor is so different than other people.
Yeah, it is, and you get to see it, but it's not really about his brand of humor, you'll see.
Oh.
It's not totally about Jonathan.
So interesting. Okay, I will definitely check it out. Well, Miranda, it's
but it is similar in tone to Being Frank in the sense that it deals with what is true and what is a lie.
Very cool. Well, Miranda, thank you so much for the time, and love what you've been able to do over the last few, decade here, and can't wait to see what's coming up.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you paying attention to me.
Awesome. Thanks, guys.